Have been circulating this prayer list here, and I want to talk about it and why we need to take prayer very seriously, and not just for children's ministry, for anything, but especially our children's ministries. Now notice Jeremiah 33:3 is a verse on prayer that I hope all of you will commit to memory and believe, and I hope it'll take greater root in my own heart. As our God has told us in this verse, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, that's prayer, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We need to find a place to pray. Every one of us, and we need to call out to God with great expectation. He wants us to approach Him with faith. He doesn't want us to approach Him with doubt. He wants us to approach Him with great faith. He wants us to just call upon Him. He wants to show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And as we sometimes say, we want to pray some God-sized prayers. Something really big. I mean, really stick your neck out and pray. And we have special prayer for Daily Vacation Bible School. We got two very influential days coming up, or weeks rather, coming up for children that are unlike others, and that is Daily Vacation Bible School followed by Junior Camp in Butler, Pennsylvania. And it's an unusual time that we have to get children under the sound of the ministry of the Word of God. And we need your prayers. Souls are in the balance. Ab Thomas, who's one of the great children's workers, probably of all times, he used to run the children's ministry under Dr. Lee Roberson in Chattanooga, Pennsylvania, or Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Highland Park Baptist Church, a church that used to run about 10,000 people every Sunday morning. A lot of those were children, if you can imagine something so big. And then he went over to Pastor Keene in Milford, Ohio, First Bible Baptist. He was the children's worker there, and he's obviously had a lot of success working with children. He's been in our church and many, many years ago, but he's famous for quoting a statistic that 85% of those who receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior do so by their 14th birthday. 85% of those who receive Jesus Christ do so by their 14th birthday. After that, it gets harder and harder to reach souls. It's a very, very fruitful field, but it's a very, very difficult one to get at, as I'll show you here in a minute. And yes, it's very, very fruitful. When we do go to the fairs, the Dunkirk Fair or the Hamburg Fair, and we collect the cards from the decisions that have been made for Christ. Of course, out there, as many of you know, we're not allowed to talk to children in the booth alone. I want to remind you of that if you go out to the fair this year. We can talk to children only if their parents come into the booth and sit down with them and we get their permission. But never, ever, ever talk to a child alone at the fair. But teenagers, we can have them come in, talk to them about the Lord, and adults, senior citizens, and all the cards we've collected. It's been about 80% of all the cards saying that they had accepted Christ as their Savior were teenagers. And only about 20% were adults, and very, very few are senior citizens. I think I've mentioned this to you before. I don't know of any others, but we started our seniors fellowship dinners in 1992. So if you figure that out, that's 19 years of seniors fellowship dinners that we've had. We used to have them every single Thursday, every Thursday for 9 straight months. And then we take off for the winter months because of the weather, traveling, and so on. We've reduced that to once a month. But we used to have it every single week. And only God knows the hearts of these people. But we give the gospel out in that ministry as much as we ever do in any other ministry. I'm always trying to give out the gospel and pray for them. They're very, very hard nuts to crack at that age when they come in unsaved, and many come in unsaved and still do. And since 1992, I only know of two decisions for Christ ever among these senior citizens that really came out and said they had accepted Christ as their Savior and then followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Now, if you can imagine that, two in 19 years. Two in 19 years. We usually get two kids around here saved every Sunday of our existence, at least. But things become more and more complex in the human mind, and the human heart is bothered sometimes by philosophy they hear, education they get, hypocrisy they see, apostasy that they see. Many things turn them off. And the older a person gets, the harder it is to win them to Jesus Christ. And it's becoming very, very hard now for us to win children to Jesus Christ, not because they're not ready. They're ripe and ready, as we heard in the testimonies earlier about the bus ride home Wednesday and all the questions that children have about God. See, in John 1:9, it says that Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He really is. Every single little baby boy or girl that comes into the world receives light from the Lord Jesus Christ that sets them on a path to seek truth. And if we're there with the truth, they will most readily receive Christ as their Savior. You take 10 little children that don't know much and you teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ, you make the gospel clear and it's under the power of the Holy Ghost, probably 10 out of 10 are going to get saved. Very, very rare that you'll find a child who's going to debate you and question you, I don't believe this, how do you know the Bible's the Word of God, and blah, blah, blah. And one of the easiest things in the Christian life is to get a child saved, to know the Lord is their Savior. But boy, we're up against it. We're up against it today like never before, and if there's ever a time we needed to pray, not just because of vacation Bible school or kids camp coming up, but just for any effort we make to reach children, we need to pray now. We need to have unusual power from on high. I'd like you to look at this chart over here that I've made. I don't know if you can see it or not. I hope so. I just want to try to give you a mental picture of the difficulty it has become in reaching children with the gospel in this day and age. Now, of course, school's out, but when we look at this chart here, we're talking about your regular schedule when children are in school and so on and so forth. I want to talk about influences here in a child's life, influences in a child's life here with this chart in this day and age. When school's in session, children are spending about, oops, I'm sorry, that's 35, it should be a 5 there, 35 hours a week in school. Now, some of them are homeschooled, not many, but some are homeschooled. Some go to private schools, some parochial religious schools, Christian schools. But most, I think it's over 89% of the children go to public schools. And in that public school, they are never introduced to that name that is above every name, that name that every single child on earth must believe in to be saved, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not because there aren't good teachers there. There's some good teachers there and so on and so forth, but their hands are tied and they're not allowed to talk about Him. Plus, since 1962, Bible reading was basically made illegal. It is legal still to study the Bible as literature in a public school, but it's very rarely done. And so our children are in what we call a humanistic or secularistic school system for 35 hours a week. Another great influence in this day and age in children's lives is the media. Now, in the old days, that meant television. It's a whole lot more than television today. Today it means the internet. Today it means Facebook. Today it means Twittering. Today it means emails. Today it's iPhones, iPads, texting. It's DVDs, it's movies, and so on and so forth. And our average child in our country today is under some influence of the media for 46 hours a week. Now you add these up, And there's about 81 hours of influence in our children every single week. And most of it is secular. All right, there's not a lot of media, there's not a lot of Christian movies or Christian internet sites for kids to go to and so on and so forth. And the media is just expanding and expanding and expanding, as I said, with Twitter and Facebook and all these types of things and internet sites, plus television, plus cable and dish TV and so on and so forth. 46 hours a week under some influence in the media. This one here, I don't have a number on it, so I'm going to put a question mark there. But you probably are noticing that there's more and more sports programs for children in our country than ever before, every season of the year. There's clubs for them to belong to and organizations for them to belong to. There's Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, ballet, dancing lessons, so on and so forth, plus all kinds of sports, all kinds of seasons, volleyball, basketball, track, and football, lacrosse, soccer is a real big one, and you can put that there. Down at the bottom here, you notice the word church. I think I would be very, 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 very generous if I said the average child in America spent 1 hour in church a week. I believe I'd be very generous to put one in there. When you consider this statistic, 60% of all children age 12 and under in America have never been in any type of a church once in their life. Let me say that again. 60% of all children age 12 and under have never been in any type of a church once in their life. In other words, you go out to the 12-year-olds in America today, and 6 out of 10, if you ask them, hey, have you ever been to church? They'd say no. So I believe this number that I put in this square is very, very, very generous. And then also consider this question, what kind of church did they go to? Was it a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, fundamental church that preached Christ, preached the Bible? Did they use the King James Bible? This is an extremely generous number right here that I have put down for church for the average child in America. Do you see anything wrong with this picture here? I don't believe this is the way God ever intended for a nation to be run. Do you see how we're up against it? Do you see how those souls in the most fruitful field that you can ever win souls in, that of winning children to Christ, can you see how our country has evolved into one big distraction to keep them from hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ? On the light of that, I just want to try to paint a picture up here for you, a mental picture to help you realize why it's so important that we pray. There's not much we can do about this. I don't think our schools are going to go away anytime soon, and I don't think they're going to have any kind of a revival of Christianity or love for the Bible in them anytime soon. Although, like I said, there's some good people that work in them. I don't think the media is all of a sudden going to become a Christian and its influence on our children. I don't think the sports and clubs and organizations are going to say, hey, let's give Sunday back to the church. It's the Lord's Day. I don't think that's going to happen. So what we need to do is when you teach your Sunday school, you need to make sure that you are under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and you take it dead serious. When you work in your children's church, that you don't toil in the flesh, but that you're prepared and you're under the anointing of God's Holy Spirit and His power, and you just prayed, and we'll go through these prayer requests here just briefly, how to specifically pray. I think specific prayers get specific answers. And then when there are weeks that come up where we're actually going to have children under our influence for 10 hours next week, 2.5 hours a night, 4 days, someone will come every night. And then the following week, the whole week, some of them will go away to camp, be away from the world. They'll be away from the television. They won't be allowed to have cell phones. They won't be allowed to have DVDs or iPods or music in their ears or nothing. And they're completely under the influence of that camp. I mean, these are like the two barrels we have to shoot off big each year. And that's about it. That's about it. Everything else is we hope they come on a bus or something and maybe get an hour of influence a week. There's something wrong with this picture here. It's not a good picture for our kids. Turn to the book of Hosea, chapter number 4. It's right after Daniel. It's not the kids of this generation's fault. Almost 50 years ago, 49 years ago, we removed the Bible from our schools. It used to be the primer that they used to teach kids to read, the King James Bible. It was still used as recently as 1962 in the state of Dallas, in the state of Texas, in the Dallas high schools, and many of the textbooks in Texas still in 1962 used the King James Bible to teach them a superior English. And then the ruling came where they couldn't do that anymore. Imagine that, 49 years now, children have come through the public schools without a knowledge of the Bible. It's not the business of the public schools to raise our children anyway. But it sure was nice when they read the Bible. I am not so much concerned today as the Bible being in the public schools as how the Bible's not even in our Christian homes. And parents are not having devotions with their kids, not teaching them to memorize Scripture. And we don't even have the Bible in a lot of churches. They've got a washed-down vanilla version of something they're reading, and they might allude to one verse of it, and then the pastor speaks for 15 to 17 minutes on some vanilla generic subject. We don't even have the Bible in our churches or in our homes, so I don't know why we should be that concerned about the schools. This is not a pretty picture. And we're taught in the prophecies that evil seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving people and being deceived. So, man, we have got to be serious about our ministration to children, the bus ministry. You should go out and do your best every Saturday, every Sunday morning, every Sunday afternoon. You should try and do your best to fill up the bus, bring in riders, pray for them by name. We got to pray with expectation. Boy, we need God. While we have this freedom, we need God. Hosea 4:6 sadly says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." 49 years ago, America said, "We do not need the law of God. We can do fine without it." The Lord said, "Okay, if you want to forget my law, forget your children." I was talking about in the news today what a drug problem we have among the youth in this country and around Western New York in particular. They said, like never before, they actually used the word epidemic this morning as I was listening to a radio news broadcast about the condition of kids. But the Lord still loves kids. He always has. And we need to bring them to the Lord. But we need to pray. Much prayer, much power, little prayer, little power, no power. And I want to encourage you maybe to have a conversion tonight. Maybe tonight be a night of a conversion in your life where you go from a person who doesn't pray and doesn't really see the importance of it to a person who says, you know, I am going to pray. And I'm going to pray with expectation. I'm going to call unto the Lord and expect that He'll show us things, great and mighty things, which we know not in the children. And that the good Lord will give us glorious conversions of children to Jesus Christ and outreach. Maybe to reach their brothers and sisters, their neighbors, their friends, and then into the family. How then should we pray? Notice your list. Number one, for the Holy Ghost to empower the teachers, workers, and children while they are here. Now, I'm just going to give you a bunch of verses to write down next to all of these points here, and don't look them up with me. You probably won't be able to keep up. But you know, it's good to pray scripturally. It's good to pray specifically, but it's also good to pray scriptural prayers, and it's right to pray for power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." You shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, "If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" We need to be specific. We need to say to all of our teachers and workers, and Lord, give me thy Holy Spirit. And we know Jesus was not talking about the praying for the indwelling of the Spirit. That comes at salvation. He was talking about praying about the fullness of the Spirit. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we need to pray for a good turnout of children, especially from Angola, Derby, Eden, Gowanda, North Collins, Dayton. Be specific about these things. I still have last year's list that I pray over in my prayer time on Sunday mornings. And man, we had kids come from Orchard Park and all kinds of crazy places last year for daily vacation Bible school. And as I've mentioned before, many of them come. Well, I'll get to this under the next point. But we need to pray that they'll come. Luke chapter 14, 23, write that down next to number 2. It says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Go out, compel them. That means constrain them, beg them, plead with them to come in. Now, some people say, well, that's talking about heaven. Yeah, I'm sure that is, but I doubt if we're going to fill up heaven. It's a pretty big place. Have you ever measured it? We have the dimensions in the book of Revelation. I don't think we're going to fill that up. I believe he's talking about the house of God. God wants the house of God packed to the rafters. It brings him glory when his house is packed to the rafters with people, not just kids. We need to go out. It doesn't just happen. But when we go out, God goes with us and people do come in. And so let us go out. Then number 3, for unsaved children to understand and receive Christ as Savior, especially the unsaved church kids, that God will give them understanding. We do believe that it is easy for children to be saved. For our Lord taught us in Matthew 18 in verses 1 through 4, He said in verse 3, "Therefore I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So children can be converted. Jesus said so, and He never lied. And in verse 14, He said, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." It's obvious Jesus is teaching child conversion. The children can be converted. They can be converted at a young age with a childlike faith. In fact, an adult must go back to their childhood and have a childhood faith to believe on Christ, to be converted. You check it out, Matthew 18:3. The only way to get saved is by childlike faith in Jesus Christ. Children can be born again, genuinely. And listen, this happens every year. We have Children come in from Protestant homes, Catholic homes, sometimes Muslim homes, and so on and so forth. And you know this side of heaven, this side of eternity, you know those parents are never going to let them come back here again, ever. Because they've got their own religion, and it's a very proud thing to them. But the one or two or three times they're here, they can be saved if they'll hear the gospel clearly. And some spirit-filled preacher, or spirit-filled soul winner will make it clear to them to receive Christ as their Savior. I'm thinking about children right now that live around me. They're beyond 12 years of age, and they came every year to our vacation Bible school, kids off our own street. And I don't lack faith, but I just have this gut feeling they'll never come back here again as long as they live. Never. We had one chance at them, or two or three. There are literally going to be kids here next week in this building. At this time, they're going to come to this church one time in their whole existence. You and I hear the gospel every time we walk in here. But they'll only come in and hear the gospel once. They'll have one counter. They'll have one divine appointment to trust in Christ as their Savior. We ought to have a whole church behind this praying. We need to pray specifically and pray scripturally. Number four, for saved children to have their faith strengthened. For saved children to have their faith strengthened. Isaiah 54 and verse number 13 says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." Children can be taught of the Lord. The Bible says so. And they can have great peace in knowing God. They can have answers, Brother Andrew, and they can have answers, you bus workers, and I'm glad you were there to answer their questions for them that they don't get to ask in a necessarily always a church setting or a class setting. We need to have their faith strengthened. They can be taught of the Lord. And then number five, we need to pray for victory against Satan and his human agents. I believe this evolution of our society right here that we've tried to make as a visual for you tonight. 81 hours under humanistic influence. Maybe 1 hour in a church. And maybe some kid will luck out and be able to have been brought up in a fundamental church. Or had a bus happen to go by their house and bring them to a place where they could hear the gospel. What about the rest? We got to do some praying. This is big stuff. This is eternal. Number five, we need to pray for victory against Satan and his human agents because they're going to show up. They're going to try to oppose. They're going to try to disrupt. We need to have a lot of prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." As he's talking about the armor of God, he ends up with saying, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." We need to ask God to bind the devil and his demons and his human agents that would try to disrupt us. And if you don't think that's going to happen, then you just take a trip through the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you see how many times wherever Jesus went somewhere, the devil himself showed up. Or the demon showed up and tried to disrupt. Look at Paul and his work in the book of Acts and how many times he ran into demonic or human opposition. And who are we? We better than the Lord? I don't think so. We better than Paul? I don't think so. And this is going to be some spiritual warfare because of the souls that are going to be in our stewardship for a very short time. And we've got to have the power of God, and we've got to have his angels to protect us and to keep the evil one away. We need to start getting serious about that. Number six, for all workers to be faithful, dependable, and cooperative. We need them all to be faithful, dependable. On time is, even when we're tired, I know it's going to be a tiring week, it always is. Dependable, cooperative, and a very, very humble spirit. In 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." We are stewards of the mysteries of God. We know the gospel. We know what is a mystery to other people. We can reveal that to them and show them how to be saved. And kids who have had questions all their life to this point, we can tell them clearly the mystery of the gospel. But it says we need to be good stewards. And we need to be found faithful. Man, be faithful to your children's work. If you're a child worker, be faithful to your class, your children's church, your bus ministry, your Baptist Boys Battalion, or whatever it is, your bus route and your vacation Bible school, that little job that you've been assigned to, be faithful to it. Be dependable, be cooperative. And then for people to fast and pray. People to fast and pray. Isn't it interesting that when the Lord said these words in Matthew 17 and verse number 21, He said, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Isn't it interesting that the story is about a demon-possessed child who had no hope? The disciples couldn't help him. Only Jesus could help him. And when the disciples said, "How come we couldn't?" Our Lord said, "This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." There's some things that prayer is not enough. Somebody has to go without food. Somebody maybe has to go without sleep. Somebody has to go without pleasure and take that particular troubled child to the Lord in prayer and pray over that child so they can be delivered. So we can see the power of God work in them. And there's a lot of troubled children nowadays, and there's many, many people that just are troubled these days. There's children who live in homes where parents have flung the doors to demonism open every day. There's alcohol in the homes, drugs in the homes, and evil rock and roll music, and evil satanic movies, and all these are doors to demonism. They just open the doors to a little defenseless child. I was talking to somebody recently about demonic oppression. I said, "Could you pray for me? I don't know what to do." I said, "I got to ask you some questions. You got to be honest with me." This person said they would, and so I went through the list that I always do when I'm talking to people about this. I said, "Do you drink alcohol?" And he says, "Not much." "You do drugs?" And he said, I experimented a couple times. I said, "Are you heavy into rock and roll music?" "Yeah." "How about demonic movies?" And when I got to pornography, his head fell and the tears flowed. There are certain doors to demonic oppression, even among believers. Not possession, but oppression. Satan can fill our hearts with things, Acts chapter 5. And man, we have got to do some praying and fasting. I've tried to put this person on a heavy diet of God's Word. "Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Praise God, there is a book around that has so much power it can cleanse the worst mind. We need to pray and fast. And number 8, for soul winners to get on the children's level, write down Psalm 51:13. "Then shall I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." If we make it clear, if we teach God's ways, sinners will be converted. Number 9, for physical protection of all children in and around the church and the buses, Matthew 18:10 says God has appointed angels to watch over the children. And Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him." Number 10, for those in charge, as they organize personnel and details, 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Number 11, for good weather, Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 27 says this, "But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey him?" And then number 12, for the kids and workers to leave with a greater understanding of and love for God's word. In Psalm 119 and verse number 97, Psalm 119 and verse number 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day long." This is a good guide that somebody made up. I don't know who it was. Those working in Bible school, it's a good guide for prayer. Brother Mike Gannon is developing a around-the-clock, 24 hours a day prayer wheel for prayer about Vacation Bible School. I hope you're on it. We need some people in the middle of the morning and late nights who are up. Do some praying for Vacation Bible School, and then pray for camp later, the next week, and then pray for the Vacation Bible School the next week later at the chapel. That these 3 weeks we can see our good Lord rescue the perishing, and the most fruitful field there is that the children. We're up against it. But the power of God's greater than all this. And His influence is the greatest. And you watch, kids who live under this influence will turn their backs on all this next week and accept Christ as their Savior. And I hope you'll pray. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother Justin, did you think to pray? Okay, our Father in heaven, we pray that you would just bless our evening, our Father, that we would be specific and scriptural in our prayers for the children. It's probably the testimony of many in this room. They got saved when they were boys or girls. Lord, you saved me when I was 12. And so many accept Christ. Lord, you know the exact statistics. Seb Thomas is probably accurate, but Lord, you said, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." We want to pray that parents in the community would release their children, allow them to come. That some would miraculously see advertisements and allow them to come, but when they come, that we'd be in a right spirit, we'd be filled with the Holy Ghost, and that we would do our best, and Lord, that we would especially exalt Christ and lift Him up to these boys and girls. Lord, you gave us 173 different boys and girls registered last year between the ages of 5 and 12. We pray they'd come back. We pray others would come back with them. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.